The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Hawkeye TV Talk. I'm Bo.
And I'm sick. I mean, Bell.
Bell, you don't sound sick. You actually sound pretty good. We could probably have actually gotten through this without people knowing that you're sick, but that's now all they can think about. So kudos.
Yeah, well, it's all in my sinuses and my eyeballs are about to pop out of my head. So, right. You know.
Yeah. Not COVID, so, just the summer sickness, you know, just the stand. Well, I guess it's winter.
no fever or anything. It's all the cedar. Like in Austin and the surrounding areas in Texas now, like if you look over the horizon, even if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you look across the horizon, you'll see a haze that looks like it could be smog or other kinds of pollution. Nope, it's pollen. And all of it is in my nostrils and causing me to just feel miserable. So
the one time it couldn't be pollution. Come on, nature.
Yeah. God.
No, you're doing good, right? You're doing good.
Yeah, no, I think I'm cognizant enough to talk about what we have to talk about today.
Well, good, man, because we are talking about everybody's favorite Avenger, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. We're going to talk about it. Hawkeye, the latest of the Disney Plus series in the MCU, pretty substantial. One might argue next to Loki. And possibly even more so than Loki, one of the most monumental of all of the Disney Plus series that we've gotten thus far. Some big things happened in this, some big reveals, a lot of speculation. A lot of things came to fruition. It is fair to say that Marvel continues to give us exactly what we want. And I am here for it. That's me kind of tip of the bean can a little bit there. Bell, Hawkeye. Now, we always like to do the how familiar are you with this character before going in, but obviously this is a well-established MCU character. Let me ask you this. Where did Hawkeye rank in your Avengers that you wanted to see to get a solo outing?
He was not on that list.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Hawkeye often put down as the least likable Avenger, which I just don't think is fair. I mean, it's true, but I don't think it's fair.
I mean, honestly, my biggest exposure to Hawkeye is from the MCU movies.
Yeah. Oh, really? You've never actually read any Hawkeye either from his own series or otherwise?
No, certainly didn't read any of his series. If I read anything, it was from collected Avengers books and things like that, or stories that he was in that featured a wider array of characters, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I love about this particular series is the way in which they played with that reality that Hawkeye is nobody's favorite. But he exists in this universe, or rather people know about him, but not everybody is pulling for him. Even in the Rogers, the musical, which if I'm being totally honest, going into this series, I was actually more excited to see whatever we could get from Rogers, the musical than I was from the actual.
I knew you would be.
It's such a great, it's like combining like the ridiculousness of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark with the marketing of Hamilton. And you got yourself a Rogers the musical. I mean, like it's gold, Jerry. I'd pay money to watch it once or twice, maybe. Oh, and did I mention that I actually know somebody who's in the cast?
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean that's not fair. I met somebody once who just so happened to also be in the cast of Rogers the musical. So, yeah, how about that?
Well, I wrote and produced Rogers the Musical, so you know somebody else involved with it.
Well, you know, you write and produced a lot of things. Anyway, so I was really looking forward to that. And actually, I love the fact that that's been like this little in-universe tie-in. We got a chance to see some of that in Spider-Man. I was about to say Turn Off the Dark, but Spider-Man No Way Home. And it's interesting. I just want to address this from a where is the universe right now, like mentally? Like, you think about, okay, we got Rogers the Musical. Steve died, or from like the public believes that Steve died fighting Thanos, or, you know, is on the moon. One of the two, for sure.
Certainly the moon.
Yeah, this is the assumption. We got that in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We also are seeing that there is he is being immediately commodified in a like post-mortem with a musical, and also memorialized to an extent that most New Yorkers don't actually like. If you go back to Spider-Man No Way Home, when they're talking about putting the shield on the Statue of Liberty, a lot of people don't like it. They like it's actually kind of presented as a background contentious issue in New York. So anyway, really fascinating the way that they're kind of tying the universe together in the background, which I think is something that I'd love to see more of. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And also, like, who has the rights to like do like who did they go through? Who did they talk to? Who's Steve's next of kin that they were like, hey, can we want to, you know, feature him? Like, you know, obviously the other Avengers except for Tony, you know, but Tony is next of kin, right? Like, you know, he's got Pepper. You know, his daughter's right. Kind of too young to really, you know, mess with any of that stuff. But like, how is somebody going in there and like getting a likeness? Well, not really likeness rights, whatever you have to do to like make a musical about somebody.
I mean, I think you can technically, you can make a musical about a public figure. I think that's allowed. He's not.
I guess plus, that makes sense.
I think there's an argument to be made that, you know, the US government has kind of treated him as property, as continued to in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I would not be surprised to see like, this is a propaganda campaign to some extent, right? Like this, and this feeds into who Steve was from the very beginning, from Captain America, the first Avenger. So yeah, I think that's what's going on there. But man, we're talking Hawkeye and we've already just spent the entire time talking about Rogers the Musical. So that's,
it's relevant.
It really is. Like, that's fair because it is relevant, Bell. Here's the thing though. I loved Hawkeye. Like, first of all, Kate Bishop. Can we just acknowledge the fact that Kate Bishop is probably one of the greatest additions to the MCU since Yelena?
And them together on screen at the same time?
Pure gold. Yes.
Pure gold.
Yes. Yeah. Dude, like two newest favoritest characters in the entire MCU.
Oh, yeah. By far, like Kate was great. She was a great addition. And like you said, just like Yelena, like that was one of the... surprises, maybe, I guess, is that the term? Like happy little not accidents. I mean, she was obviously in the movie, but like I wasn't expecting to come out of Black Widow having a character like Yelena be like, oh my gosh, I want to see more of this character. And I was so happy when Yelena came in Hawkeye. And the same thing with Kate Bishop. Like Kate Bishop, she's so likable, and just like a really interesting and neat character. And it was cool to see them together. And that was, you know, I don't know if Kate's going to be in like the MCU films or if there's going to be like a Hawkeye season 2 or something, but like, I feel like she would fit in with the new crew and it'd be kind of like an interesting sort of like audience plant in the Avengers. Right. Because she's new to this whole thing and she's like a new hero and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, so, I think she's going to be leading the Young Avengers sooner rather than later.
Ooh, Young Avengers, eh?
Potentially even putting together the Young Avengers. Like, first of all, that first episode of Hawkeye, where they take you back to the Battle of New York, like I love that. It in so many ways, the MCU has these fictional, like fantastic correlations to real world events. Obviously, one intentional, one not so intentional, because you have the Battle of New York, which is kind of this like, I've referred to it, I've seen it referred to before. I can't claim this, but like a 9/11 revenge fantasy. It's like it's this, you know, monumental event in the universe that kind of kicked off an era. And so you have kind of that. And then you also fast forward ahead, you have the Thanos snap, which without knowing that this was going to be the case, has kind of represented 2020 for us in kind of the modern context, right? Like this, you know, this disappearance, this like shutting down of civilization and, you know, this almost kind of like, you know, just this, when you see the date 2020, that means something. When you see 9/11, that means something. And in many respects, when you see the dates that correlate with the snap and with, you know, the attack on the Battle of New York, with the Chitauri, it means something to us as an audience. And so I love the way they set this up with Kate as a young girl at her home. You know, she's in her bedroom. It is like this extreme, like, you know, privileged little girl bedroom with all of like the giant stuffed animals that you see at like FAO Schwartz and all that kind of stuff. and it's like, you know, like this rich kid bedroom. And, you know, she's just very innocently going to get something off her bed. And then you hear it. You see it. You see the Chitauri just swipe right past her window. And it's like that moment, that calm before the storm. And then, you know, you instantly feel it, fearing for her, even though, you know, obviously she's going to live because, you know, Hawkeye. But at the same time, like you're instantly feeling for her because you have this child in this battlefield. And boom, the freaking roof caves in. The walls open up. And this young girl who's about to lose her dad looks up and is saved by Hawkeye. I love this man because like this works out perfectly in kind of this context of like this picture of this young child who's just been saved by, you know, the most overlooked Avenger. He or her is her Avenger. Like, I love the way they set that up. The way even at the funeral, when she's talking to her mom and her mom's like, "I'll get you anything you need." She's like, "I need a bow and arrow." Like, I'm instantly,
yeah.
This traumatic experience sets up in this very talented young girl. You have this extreme talent mixed with this extreme privilege, mixed with this extreme conviction. And I mean, like Tony Stark at a young age, right? I mean, it's a different talent set, obviously, but like you kind of have this really kind of righteously overconfident, like character with extreme skills. And like this, like lovable personality, because she does have that mixture of overconfidence and actual skills, like not necessarily to back it up. Like, it's kind of like this balancing act that I think she pulls off so well. I love Kate Bishop, man. She's fantastic addition.
Yeah, she was wonderful. And I know this was pulled from a particular Hawkeye run, a comic run. And I kind of like, I got to go pick up that comic run now. I really want to read it. Like, I loved how all of the intro stuff was based kind of like off the art and style of that particular run.
Yeah, and Matt Fraction's arc on Hawkeye, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was where Kate was introduced, or if Kate Bishop had been in the, you know, Marvel comics at some point. But yeah,
I feel like she was introduced before that, if I'm remembering, and I could be very wrong on this. You know, there was a time in the comics where Hawkeye was dead. And I think that Kate was introduced as the new Hawkeye during that time. And so I think this was one of, you know, this is kind of a major one where they interact in this one post Clint's resurrection. But again, I've read that comic, but it has been so long. I really can't speak to it, but I mean, yeah, it is a very iconic, like the art in that book is very iconic. It is very heavily seen throughout, as you mentioned, with the intro and everything. There's a lot of callbacks, the dog Lucky, specifically in introduced in that comic book run. And so it is very much the source material for this, series. Now, I don't know if it takes place at Christmas or not. Making this, an Avengers kind of like solo series at Christmas was kind of I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, we now have, like, you know, people say Die Hard's a Christmas movie because it takes place during Christmas, even though it's not really about Christmas. And I happen to hold that belief. I think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I watch it every Christmas. And this is like, you know, a Marvel Christmas movie kind of thing.
Arguably, we've already got one, though. Technically, now we have two, three.
Wait, now, hold on. What's the OK, what are the other two?
All right. Iron Man 3 takes place during Christmas. I'm almost
time.
Yeah, I think it does, though, because the whole movie takes place in the course of a week. So, yeah, it takes place during Christmas. It's not a big theme like it is here. Like here, right. It's like, you know, like that's the, yeah, it's funny because I was watching the show with my wife and she was just really worried that he was going to die. And I was like, you know, one of the great things about this show is that they establish pretty early on what the stakes are. It's that he wants to be home for Christmas on time, not alive. Like they're very clear about telling us that they're not going to kill Clint.
No.
On Christmas Day. Like, he's not that kind of tragic character. If they were going to do that, they would have killed him in Age of Ultron. And no, he's not dying.
Yeah. No, he's not going
to
die.
He just needs to get home for Christmas. So that's like the big crux of the movie, right? Like, that's where we're going here is we got to get Clint home for Christmas. So I would say that technically that's not, you know, it's not like an Iron Man's got to save Santa type situation, but it does take place during Christmas.
Yeah. And I think that's enough. I'm not going to agree with you on Iron Man 3 because I've watched it semi recently and I don't recall anything about Christmas. And maybe that's just because my brain is fried. But I don't know, you know,
he even says to the suits, it's Christmas, let's take them to church. And then he like does the whole like wavy arms thing and they all go and explode. You don't remember that? You don't remember that at all? Okay. It's snowing in Nashville.
Like it's, oh yeah, that's right. It's cold. That's a winter movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
I promise you, I could be wrong. But I'm not.
You're probably not, but I don't, for some reason it never clicked. Like a lot of times when movies are set in Christmas or like Christmas, like Gremlins, for example, is a perfect example. Gremlins is a Christmas movie because the Mogwai is a Christmas gift and there's like, you know, Christmas displays in department stores and it's snowing outside and the
weather outside is frightful and this, you know,
and the gremlins are sure delightful.
Oh.
And the love interest in this story, like her dad died in the chimney playing Santa Claus, like that's a Christmas movie if there has ever been one. Go watch Gremlins if you haven't seen it. It's a great Christmas movie.
All right, well there you go.
And so is Hawkeye.
Okay, so all right, by the way, the other one is Spider-Man No Way Home because this takes place during Christmas as well. It's blink and you miss it, but it takes place during Hawkeye, so for that's how you know it's during Christmas. And then the other thing is at one point he flies to the mall in the mirror universe, in the mirror dimension, and they've got like Santa Clauses and such.
Oh yeah. Okay, well,
we got three, baby.
I don't. Those don't count. The only one that counts is Hawkeye.
All right.
That's official. I'm putting my foot down.
This is the only one that Bell will allow. I will allow it too. That is perfectly fine. Yeah. This really felt like a movie though, right? Like this was a little bit more movie-ish than the other series.
This is one of those where I want to watch the whole thing through, like in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
How many minutes were the, I'm trying to figure out how many, it's not listing on the Wikipedia page how long each one was. I don't think there were all like an hour long, somewhere like 30 something minutes.
One of the things about these Disney Plus series is they can fluctuate pretty substantially. Like you get one that's like around 30, a little bit less possibly. And then you get some that are like close to an hour. And that was the same case here. So yeah, they were kind of all over the map. I mean, it's longer than a movie collectively, but it's tight, I guess is my thing. Like this is a very, very tight story. It moved very quickly. I think it worked as a series. Don't get me wrong. I liked the fact that we had like, you know, kind of that 24-esque, okay, we got X amount of time and we got X amount of movies or X amount of episodes rather.
You know? Yeah. So this is a reversal of some of your previous opinions on some of the things we've been talking about on this show where you think movies should be shows, but like, are you saying that you think this show should be a movie?
I'm just saying that it felt like a movie. I'm just saying that it was like that level, like fair point, Bill.
What is with you, man? Make up your mind.
No, I don't know. I wasn't saying it should be a movie. I was actually very glad that it was a series. It works as a series, but I'm just saying that it does. It's very tight. Like, and you and I have talked about this before with like, you know, The Flash and other things is that, you know, the problem with some television shows is that they're not very tight. They have to like spread out the content. Well, Hawkeye wasn't like that. I'm glad that this was only, what was it, 6 episodes as opposed to doing like
six episodes.
10. Yeah, that's all it needed. And so it had like a really, really tight story. I think it flowed really well. I think it introduced some great characters. We need to talk about what the significant implications is for the universe, though, with the show, man, because the same week, obviously right before No Way Home came out, which brought Daredevil to the big screen and confirmed him in the MCU, people who were watching this show got the big review that Uncle was Kingpin. Now, Bell.
Yes.
Did you, because you mentioned that when you saw Daredevil, that was not spoiled for you. So you
Correct.
Had not seen Hawkeye at that point.
I had been watching Hawkeye and I saw, So interesting story, right? I mentioned this in our No Way Home review, but we were watching Hawkeye, and then we got to the episode where Kate sees the video of her mom talking to Kingpin.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And Christy was like, well, I don't know who that is. And I was like, oh, have you not seen the Netflix Daredevil show? And she was like, no. So we started watching it. And we started watching, like, I think we saw like the first two or three episodes before we saw No Way Home. And I'm so glad that I did that, because she was like, oh my gosh, that's Daredevil. and so like there was context there and it made sense. And so I was really happy. Like, I did it just for Kingpin, because I had no idea that Charlie Cox, right? Yeah.
Charlie Cox.
I had no idea that Charlie Cox was going to be in No Way Home. And when I saw Kingpin, I was like, is that Vincent? Like, because the video, I'm sitting there looking at it going, is that Vincent D'Onofrio?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we have to watch Daredevil. So after that episode ended, we watched a couple episodes of Daredevil. And I think this was like the day before we saw No Way Home. And so just in case, I was like, let's watch Daredevil, because like if it is Vincent D'Onofrio, I want her to have some kind of exposure to this character. And so,
that was good. That was good.
that was really, really neat. Because I always thought that Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin was perfect, as Kingpin.
Yes. Yes. In Daredevil, he was. In Daredevil, he was.
Yeah. In Daredevil.
I don't know how I feel about what we got in.
Oh, the Hawaiian shirt Kingpin?
No, let the man wear a Hawaiian shirt. I'm fine with that. I'm not gonna create issues there. My whole thing is less about the way he looked and how he got like owned every 5 seconds he was on screen. Like, literally everybody was putting this man down. Yeah, he got mad about it, but then he didn't really do anything. And when he tried to, he got smacked down again. Like, you know, I like the way that Clint set it up. Like, you know, most people don't go up against Kingpin and walk away. Well, that's good to hear, Clint. And we know that watch Daredevil. But for people that don't watch Daredevil and this is their first exposure to this Kingpin, he looks weak in this, man.
And that's kind of, I mean, I saw Daredevil, so I know the brutality of that character. Right. Like, yeah. I know that. I've seen that. I've seen, you know, how screwed up his childhood is and how like crazy sadistic he is and how strong
the brutality
and powerful
of him. Yes, absolutely.
The man cut another man's head off with a car door for crying out loud.
Car door. Yes, exactly.
And so I don't know if Disney is going like, is this a different Kingpin from is the MCU?
Okay, this is good. So this has now, like, this was my thought as well, like my question as well. But I think, Bell, at this point, it has been confirmed that the Netflix series that we have seen is, in fact, canon.
In the actual MCU. And not a multiverse of madness.
Not in
style.
A multiverse of madness. No. What we saw from Kingpin and Daredevil is this universe. And we got, you know, and if you think back, there wasn't very much references to the Avengers. There was some, just specifically in Jessica Jones, because we had Luke Cage made mention of the Avengers. I think he said the green guy and his friends. And then we also had a subplot in Jessica Jones season 2. Where there she was like trying to find somebody, but it was really just a setup because it was kind of talking about prejudice against metahumans and and heroes and that sort of thing, kind of, and which was right around the time of Civil War. So there's always been kind of this question of like, will they, won't they, is this, isn't this, what's really going on here? But no, I mean, it's canonical now. Like, it's legit now.
So that's interesting. He must have patched up. Kingpin must have patched up his relationship with the Russians after blowing them up in Daredevil.
Well,
now he's working with unless that's like a splinter faction of Russians, the tracksuit gang or something like that.
Well, the other factor too is that they at least he got snapped, which has also been talked about. In fact, Vincent D'Onofrio has specifically talked about the fact that this is a Kingpin who was snapped and is dealing with the world of organized crime. Like, that he's coming back to, right? Because he was the Kingpin, and then, you know, he disappears for 5 years, he comes back, and people have forgotten about the Kingpin. And so you had, you know, and so, like, so anyway, see, but here's the thing about that. That's what Vincent D'Onofrio said, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't quite track with what we were told by Hawkeye, because he said your boss had your dad killed. Well, her dad was killed during the blip. So unless that happened before he was snapped, that doesn't track, right?
Do we know for a fact her dad was killed? Oh, yeah, because that's when Ronan was at. Yeah.
That's what he said. He said, your boss. He said, your boss did this. Because he was turning Echo onto, by the way, Echo, fantastic. Like, this show introduced some fantastic characters, man. It canonicized some fantastic characters. Canonicalized? Canonized.
Canonized, yeah.
Canonized some fantastic characters. And it introduced some incredible characters as well, man. This show right here.
This is like the Council of Nicaea, but for Marvel characters.
It really is. Like that week in particular between, you know, 'cause that's the other thing too. Some people got canonized. Some people got apocryphanized. Apocryphalized. Apocryphanized?
Apocryphalized.
Approximatized.
Whatever words. This, yeah.
Yeah. That happens. 'Cause at the end of this, at the end of the series, man, you know, the whole thing is about what's up with the watch. What's up with the watch? Is it Tony's watch? Is it Hawkeye's watch? Is it Kingpin's watch? Whose watch is it? And then we find out it's Agent 19's watch. And yeah. Agent 19 goes by a different name. Belle, do you know what that is?
Hawkeye's wife.
Yes. But do you know what her code name is? I'll give you a hint. It's not Agent 19.
Wife of Hawkeye.
No.
Linda Cardinelli.
Hawkette. No, she's Mockingbird.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Well, you might not know this as well. Mockingbird has already been introduced into the MCU.
What?
Or maybe more accurately, Mockingbird was introduced into a series called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really? When?
Season 2? Maybe season 3.
Oh, yeah. Mockingbird. Yeah, that was what's her face?
What's her face? Exactly. With the thing on the face.
Fine. Yeah. No, I forgot she was Mockingbird. Holy crap. I watched like 5-6 seasons of that show.
Yeah. Yeah. She was Mockingbird. And you know what? She's not anymore, because that has all been apocryphalized. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out, Netflix in.
Yeah, the Gnostic Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dude, like, but for real, though, because that's the thing, right? Like, and the funny thing is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually had more juice than Netflix did for the longest time, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had that whole like crossover with Thor.
They had a crossover with Sif.
From Thor.
It was, they were cleaning up Greenwich and like Sif came down and did some things.
And who messed up Greenwich, Belle? Thor.
Look, I was all for the it's all connected thing back then, and I know I argued for it endlessly. Yeah. It was never fully endorsed by Marvel Studios, apparently, and Marvel Studios is just throwing them a bone, saying, yeah, sure, Jamie Alexander, if you want to go and play Sif on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., go for it. And you know, it was those little tiny things that they tried to make it feel connected, but it never really was, you know. And as the show went on, it officially became not connected at all, and they went and did their own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so I've heard this, but did they have like a whole thing where they literally like broke off from the universe or like entered into the multiverse or something like that?
I don't know. I had stopped watching by that point.
I think most people did.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, like as soon as they sort of split off and did their own thing, it was a lot better of a show.
Well, sure. Because they weren't stifled. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. They had the Civil War. Winter Soldier, like the whole Hydra take, like that show had the juice and it is gone. It is apocryphalized. Would you say the Gnostic MCU? Like,
it's the Gnostic MCU.
It's the Book of Enoch, man. It is out. It is hard out.
Yeah.
Fan fiction. This is not, it is Hiroshima game over, man. It is not happening.
It's the Book of Mary Magdalene, the wife of. Of the book, MCU,
book of Judas, it is.
Yeah, that was one right now. There's some like Netflix show or something that was like talking about the book of Judas, and or maybe it was some book I was reading. I don't remember, but
yeah. More great TV talk up in just a few minutes, but first we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Anyway, so yeah, that's out. And it's funny that it all just kind of came out the way it is. But I mean, it makes sense. I think everything fits. I don't think anybody's going to create too much of a fit. Like the one person that was still like hardcore, like fanning out for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm sorry. Not sorry. this is a better path. It just is.
It really is. I mean, that's, you know, the Netflix shows, I thought, because you know it's on ABC. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on ABC, and they're giving them like, you know, pretty decent budgets for TV, but it's still TV.
Yeah.
And Netflix was the first kind of like, yeah, it's TV, but it's Netflix TV. So we have budgets, and we have we can say bad words, and we can have violence.
Yeah.
And right.
We can have Kingpin cut guy's head off with the door.
Yeah. And so
we don't have those Mickey Mouse restrictions that you've got.
Yeah. And you know, and the Disney Plus shows are like Hawkeye. I love this show. I thought it was fantastic. And it really did feel like an extension of some of those Netflix shows, like the first season of Daredevil, the first season of Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, maybe not so much Iron Fist.
First half of season one of Luke Cage. Yes.
Yeah. Because that's kind of how it went, right? Like Daredevil season one, Daredevil season two, Jessica Jones season one, the first half of Luke Cage, Punisher season one was pretty decent, I remember. And then Iron Fist was meh, and Defenders was meh.
I just realized, okay, so that also means, and I mean, this isn't the first time, right? Because like, so we got Cottonmouth is, Blade in this. So
that's right.
But at the same time, his sister, cannot remember her name at the top of my head, but she also played the mom in Civil War. So like we've had actors play other roles in the MCU before. And I think that's fine.
Like, I think can't wait. Fine. I saw, this is in our Discord, the Flashcraft Discord.
Oh, I know what you're about to. Yeah.
So, who posted it? I want to give them proper credit.
It's either Night or Snow, I think.
Yeah, Snow posted a tweet, and it was there's no credit for the tweet, unfortunately, but imagine a quote portals like moment in Multiverse of Madness where all the most nostalgic Marvel heroes are coming through, and then one portal opens and Chris Evans walks out and everyone thinks it's Cap, but he says two words, flame on. His clothes burn to reveal the final the Fantastic Four suit. I think that would be freaking awesome.
I mean, now, sure. Yeah. Why not? That sounds awesome. It does sound incredible. And I think you could get away with it now in a way you never could before. But I don't think that would happen in Multiverse of Madness. I think if there's going to be a multiversal war, which there very well may be, like I think they've set up things in Loki. And I think, you know, with Multiverse of Madness, that's going to continue to further that narrative. And then we'll have, you know, Kang showing up in, Ant-Man Quantumania. So I like the multiverse is like, that is the big theme and continues to be of phase four holistically, or at least broadly.
I've got it. I figured it out.
Yeah. Hit me. What you got?
All right. Multiverse of Madness, or at least this is the next season of What If episode. It has to be. It has to be.
Okay.
And it's this scene, and it just starts out the portals are opening or whatever. And it's the scene where Captain America says Avengers assemble, except for it's a tight close up on Chris Evans as Captain America in that scene. And he gets the hammer and he's like, instead of saying Avengers assemble, he says Avengers, as in like Evans, Chris Evans, and you look and everyone there is just Chris Evans. It's like Chris Evans Doctor Strange, Chris Evans Wong, Chris Evans as Human Torch.
I thought you were going with like his character from Knives Out, his character from Scott Pilgrim,
all that too, of course. Yeah every single role that Chris Evans has ever played, plus Chris Evans playing every other role in the MCU, and it's just all Chris Evans's. Avengers assemble, come on,
that'd be incredible.
Why do I not work for Marvel?
I think you just answered your own question, man. But yes, Hawkeye, fantastic. And loved Kate Bishop. Loved I loved her dynamic, as we mentioned with Yelena. I can't wait to see them engage more. I think it'd be great to see, especially if we have a situation where, Yelena ends up on the Avengers and Kate ends up on the Young Avengers, having kind of that relationship kind of bridge the gap between the two teams could be really, really cool. I also, man, like I mentioned briefly, I want to kind of circle back to this Echo. A character I was not that hyped for. And oh my gosh, she was fantastic. I did not understand why, when they announced we're getting an Echo series, I was like, cool. Who? And I mean, I know that Echo has been established in the comics, but I think she's a relatively new character and certainly not one with, the household name of Shang-Chi. Wait a minute. Shang-Chi doesn't. Okay. I see what you're doing, Marvel. You're getting crazy on us and I like it. So I think
let's be real. Iron Man, how popular? Like if you walk down the street in 2008,
I mean, that's fair. But what I'm saying is you knew who Iron Man was and I knew who Iron Man was. Be honest with me. Did you know who Shang-Chi was before Marvel said they were going to make a movie out of it?
I think I did.
No, you didn't. Well, you were into Kung Fu. Okay. All right. Did you know who Echo was?
No, I have no idea who Echo is.
You had no idea. You'd have to be a Daredevil fan, a modern comic book reading Daredevil fan to know who that is. And so maybe and that's a group of people. I'm not saying it's not, but you and me kind of as more of the casual geek, I think at that phase in life, where we're not going to the comic book store every day. We stopped going to the arcade every single Saturday. We're more the, we got lives and jobs and whatnot. We're a little bit more on kind of the casual geek side.
And that's not to say that it's bad to not be a casual geek.
No,
these things got in the way of us being more hardcore geeks.
we would have absolutely. That's exactly right. But I mean, it's just life. Life finds a way.
Or in this case, doesn't.
Point is that we still knew who Iron Man was. We knew who Thor was. We knew even though the average Joe might not have been as familiar with these characters, we definitely were. But Shang-Chi, come on, that's a deep cut. Echo, deep cut. And to for both of these characters, Eternals? Come on. Nobody knows. You didn't know who the Eternals were.
Yeah, I did not know who the Eternals were. I think I had a familiarity with Shang-Chi, on the surface. I knew he was a character. I knew nothing else about him.
You didn't even know who half the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
I didn't know who any. No. I knew
Rocket and Groot.
I knew Yondu.
Okay.
Because I remember going to a pizza place, I think it was, and they had a Guardians of the Galaxy poster. And I was like, who is this dude with this giant mohawk? And I was Googling Guardians of the Galaxy, giant mohawk guy. And it was Yondu. And I was okay. And that was, I knew who Yondu was.
And actually, didn't Yondu pop up in a 90s X-Men cartoon back in the day?
Maybe.
I think he fought the Juggernaut. Maybe I'm misremembering. Anyway, point is, Marvel's getting crazy on us and I love it, man. They're pulling out a lot of interesting characters and they've got Guardians was from that moment on. It's we'll make you watch a raccoon in a tree. You know what I mean? We're going to make you care for this tree. We're going to take this raccoon and we're going to kill half the universe and make him a fucking Avenger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Marvel's we'll do it. We'll do it. And you'll love it. And we did. Except then they did it with the Eternals and we were meh. But Shang-Chi's excellent, and Echo's excellent. So keep pulling some of these characters, man. This is really, really fascinating.
Look, I like the Eternals. I'm excited to see where they go. I'm especially excited to see Kit Harington as Black Knight. I don't know. I think that's cool. Like, you hadn't heard of Black Knight. You didn't know who Black Knight was.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Black Knight was.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You know, if you're going to say yes to Echo and yes to Shang-Chi.
Whatever, man. Echo had like an arc here. She actually did stuff in this. We got
she
a chance.
She did. Like, Kit Harington got to look at the screen and say a couple words. How is that not an arc?
Oh, an Eternal. Always thought you were Eternal. Well, I've got something special about me. Oh, not time for this? Okay. Well, I'll just be around for the post-credit scene. Hopefully people will stay through it. Please be really good at this movie. Oh, hey, it's my brother from that other universe. Oh, and you're Cersei. Oh, hey, I wonder if they did a lot of casting here just because of the Game of Thrones references. Maybe.
And also Blade.
And Blade. But see, that's the thing. Like, if Black Knight's in Blade, I'll that's awesome. If Black Knight's in Black Knight, you got to give me more than that, man. Like, Shang-Chi, this is when Marvel does this right, okay? Shang-Chi and Echo. They tied these characters into the world, as opposed to the Eternals, where they kind of like shoved in a bunch of lore and didn't pay homage or connective tissue to the rest of the world that it should have had. Like, here, Echo is freaking tied to Kingpin. Like, yeah. She's like going, like, she just potentially took him down. Now, I don't think they actually killed him because they didn't bring him back just to kill him.
You don't pay Vincent D'Onofrio money and then be like, yep, yeah, okay, yeah, that's all you got.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. But no. So, like, I have a feeling that she's going to be going up against Kingpin, possibly Daredevil, and her, like, so, like, we're talking about, like, they introduce the character, they introduce and they tell an awesome story that is wrapped in familiarity and gets you excited because it builds upon what we already know about the universe with this character. Same thing they did with Shang-Chi with the Mandarin, because they didn't just say, like, here's a Shang-Chi movie. It's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. That's an organization that's been in the background since the beginning of Iron Man 1. And like, you know, retelling the story of the Mandarin, something they've been kind of teasing that they messed up before that they want to get right. And they nailed it. Like, that's how you do this. Like, that's how you take these characters that are kind of on the fringe. And like, especially this deep into the universe, you could argue they didn't do that with Guardians. Fine. That was in phase one. Like, they were still establishing the universe. We're deep into it now. We're phase four. You got to show up and you got to, like, not only bring excellent characters and excellent stories, but it also has to feel like entrenched into the universe and enhance the universe along with it. When you just tell it off on the side, like Eternals did, but then tell you it's like the most monumental thing ever, but it doesn't feel connected to anything. To me, that just communicates Marvel didn't feel like they had a hit on their hands. They weren't ready to they made some big swings, but they made some big swings while they were detached from everything else. And I just don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But all in all, I'm
excited for the Echo series. I just, that was my main point there.
I think it'll be neat. I'm kind of curious as to who's going to be coming in there as well. Like, are we going to see Kate Bishop? Are we going to see Daredevil? Are we going to see Kingpin? Like, I'm kind of curious to see where it goes. Like, the Echo character, I think she had a great arc, and I think she was wonderful. But like, with Kate Bishop in the show, and you know, I was less interested in Echo. I think her redemption arc was you know, it was neat for her to come through. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how she, because she's different from Daredevil in that she doesn't have, like, you know, she wasn't like deafened by chemicals that give her super eyesight or something, right?
Like, it's not like she has like, she doesn't have like superhuman ability, but she does have kind of enhanced fighting skills. Like, she's trained herself and she can use her environment for that exact same reason, like to remove, you know, like for example, like when the with the silent alarm goes off, like, she's able to like get the jump because they don't realize that, you know, that she's actually there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
She talks to Clint about, which I love the fact that like the hearing aid aspect of Clint as well.
Yeah. That was super cool. It made perfect sense. It fit in perfectly. Cause I know that's a big piece of the comics, and it wasn't one of those things where you're like, what?
No, the way they explained it, like, how did this happen? And they cut to like 30 different things. That, like, it's like, you know what? Pick one. It's the Joker's origin story. Just pick one. It's multiple choice.
Well, no, it's just years and years and years of all of that. It just adds up, and it just, yeah, that's ear damage, like, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, so good.
But yeah, for Echo, I'm super excited to see how it's going to fit in and how it's going to go. Like, I'm not in love with that character yet, because of all the outstanding characters that we got in Hawkeye.
Well, she's still Kate. A pseudo villain ish.
She feels like a Punisher kind of character to me, and I feel like that could bring her into contention with Daredevil, and that's. Yeah. What makes me kind of excited, because Daredevil's like, nah, I'm not going to kill. And she's like, well, I shot Kingpin in the face.
I mean, theoretically, if they go with kind of a comic book route, she may have blinded Kingpin.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there's a lot to play off of here. I think there's I'm extremely excited for her series. Marvel. I mean, they just keep on surprising me. I was not excited for Hawkeye, and then it ended up being probably my favorite of all of the. The Disney Plus series thus far, and then I wasn't, you know, like I was like, Echo who? Like, why are we doing this? Now I see, I'm like, oh, and you're tying Daredevil. Oh, and you've canonized Daredevil and Kingpin. Yeah, I'm here for this, man. This is it's an exciting time.
Absolutely, exciting time. Absolutely.
All right. So as I mentioned, for me, of this kind of first suite of Disney Plus series, I think Hawkeye may be my favorite. With Loki as kind of a close. Second, WandaVision as a third, then What If, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But what about you, man?
I think I probably had the most fun with Hawkeye for sure. I feel like it was the perfect length, and it told a great concise story, and left you really wanting more from those characters that were introduced and stuff, which I think is what these shows are designed to do. I liked the interesting aspects of WandaVision. I liked Loki a lot. Yeah, I might have to just do the same rating. I think Hawkeye was just it was a ton of fun, yeah. And I think it was very well polished. It was very well put together. WandaVision and Loki the same kind of way. It was dealing with a lot more, and so that kind of maybe. I mean, it was still great, but like it was dealing with a lot more. And so you couldn't tell as tight a story and put, you know, a fine bow on it, because that's not the point of that show. The show was, you know, introducing the multiverse and all that kind of stuff. And WandaVision went from like really crazy, what are they doing, to like, oh, this is, you know, going to be a standard, we're going to fight the bad guy kind of thing.
I didn't mind. I see people complaining about that. I did not mind that. I thought it was fine. I thought it worked out really well.
I mean, you know, the transition to it was nice, but like, from those first couple episodes, I thought we were going to get some sort of like weird, just avant-garde, like nutso kind of, you know,
multiverse of madness. You thought that, like, I mean, because this did to some extent set up the multiverse of madness, but we thought that WandaVision was going to do what Loki did.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I thought the route they were going to was going to be something completely different. Cause that's what they were showing with like the TV shows and stuff. Mm. I thought they're going to go like some kind of weird, like just experiment with it. And they stopped doing that, like, you know, halfway through. And so that was disappointing. I still love the show. It was just disappointing that they didn't continue that thread of Wanda's like madness and whatnot in the original lane that they had started it in, you know?
I am very curious to see where they take her in Doctor Strange, because I mean, it's very possible that what we're seeing, you can't trust a Marvel trailer. B, you really can't trust a Marvel trailer that's dealing with the multiverse. So, I mean, like, I don't know if what we're seeing in that is our Wanda, or if that is a different Wanda, or what. But, you know, from appearances, she seems kind of chill when we're first introduced to her in the trailer, which is weird because we know she's not that chill. She's crazy.
Well, it's been a minute. It's been a minute, so you never know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
But yeah, that's a lot to say that I just agree with your rating.
All right, no, fair enough. Well, there you go. That's where we rank them. Let us know what y'all think. We'd love to hear from you. Head over to the Twitters at TV Talk FM to let us know what other series you want us to cover. You can also get us a rating on iTunes. By the way, that's a great way to help out the show. Head over to iTunes, look up the TV Talk podcast there. Those 5-star ratings are amazing, just like you. And just like Bell, who you can follow at Ring That Bell. You can also follow the show's information that's available at tvtalk.fm. You can also subscribe to the show there on iTunes and Spotify and do all the wonderful things. We've got a Minecraft server called Batcraft, where we're making some fun stuff. I made the Orpheum from Memphis, which was probably one of the coolest things I've ever made in Minecraft.
I've yet to go to your base, and yeah. You have all this stuff up there, and it makes me mad that I don't have enough time to play.
I don't have that much stuff. I'm actually, it's just, you know, it's, but it's good. It's good. It's good. We're about to make Gotham City into an actual Gotham City. Right now, we've just turned it into like we're doing some fun stuff in there, but we need to actually make a Bat Cave. I mean, it is called Batcraft after all.
Yeah, yeah.
That probably needs to happen. Anyway, so yeah, all that information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash, covering the Matrix. That's okay. We're recording on this computer, actually.
No, this computer, eh? Why do I have that open? I don't need that open. What are we talking about today?
Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. I never watched that. Was it good?
Hawkeye seems cool, like a really nice guy.
I named my bow in Minecraft Hawkeye.
You know, I met one of the dancers in the Rogers, the musical.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I can't remember her name.
That's pretty cool.
She helped me on a project that was where I was writing my immersive play script. She was in an immersive play in New York, actually a couple of them, and knew her through my brother. And I had a call with her. She read my script. She's the first person who is not family to read my script and give me advice. And today she is dancing in Rogers. So there you go.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she read my script. I don't know if that was clear, but it's because she read my script. So read my script.
I'm going to laugh when Marvel comes out with an immersive play. It's your exact same storyline, but it's Marvel characters.
Well, to be fair, I ripped off Casablanca. So technically, it's fine. All right, you ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.